And now two stories that have been underreported, even with the media saturation of the presidential race. President Obama meets with the leaders of China, Russia, and Turkey, but skips the Philippines. An ominous election in Germany and new regulations on one of the Big Island's major tourist attractions. Those are just some of what's percolating through the mind of news analyst Neil Conan, who joins us most Tuesdays from his MacNut farm on the Big Island. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
So given the volume of coverage, it's kind of hard to believe that any story involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton manages to sneak below the radar, and you have too.
Well, both of these have been reported, but they have not gotten the attention that, for example, Donald Trump's position on immigration does, whatever that might be this hour. One is a story that came out last spring. We learned that the Donald Trump Foundation, not the Clinton Foundation, the Donald Trump Foundation, have made an illegal donation to the reelection campaign of Florida's attorney general, a woman named Pam Bondi.
So that's the Trump University story.
Yes, exactly, yeah. The attorney general's office was thinking about joining the civil suit that had been filed by the state of New York. That argues that Trump University defrauded its students. It's the case. Anyway, while all this was going on, Attorney General Bondi solicited Donald Trump personally for a campaign contribution. He agreed. She then announced that Florida would not join the lawsuit. And mysteriously, just 4 days later, a check arrives from the Trump Foundation for $25,000.
So that's kind of interesting timing.
Indeed. And supporters of Hillary Clinton have been angrily charging that if this was the Clinton Foundation that had made an illegal campaign contribution under such suspicious circumstances, there would be squadrons of reporters on the case. Last week, the Washington Post, to be fair, reported the Trump Foundation paid a fine to the IRS. Nonprofit foundations are not allowed to make political contributions. The Post also found out that the Trump Foundation did not report this contribution accurately to the IRS. All innocent bookkeeping mistakes, the foundation says, but a suspicious mind might see an attempt to cover up an illegal campaign contribution. As you may have noticed, there are plenty of suspicious minds on social media, so this is all over the Internet, but very little coverage and very little follow-up on TV and in the major newspapers, except, again, for the Washington Post.
Okay, so that's one story. What about the other one?
The other one, this baffles me even more. Now, to be fair, this did make headlines for a day, but quickly dropped out of sight amid the avalanche of news that followed Donald Trump's visit to Mexico. This is Hillary Clinton's speech on Donald Trump and the alt-right. That's the loose collection of white nationalists and anti-government groups. She made a speech that absolutely eviscerated both Trump and his new campaign chairman, Steve Bannon, whose day job is to run Breitbart, the so-called news website that champions the alt-right. Now, in this speech, Clinton used effectively, as the most effective tactic against Donald Trump and Breitbart, is to use their own words. And she, like a prosecutor, convicted them in a closing statement of, being seriously dangerous. This is not merely conservatism. It's not republicanism. It is something else. And now, in Europe, you hear a lot about, there's right-wing parties and there are dirty right-wing parties. Mm-hmm. Sort of the difference between Nicolas Sarkozy in France and Marianne Le Pen. Mm-hmm. Now, this made the case that Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party on behalf of the dirty right, and it's frightening.
You mentioned right-wing politics in Europe. You mentioned just a moment ago, just the other day, in Germany, another country where immigration is a major issue, a far-right party did surprisingly well in a local election. What do you make of that?
Again, this is ominous. The Alternative for Germany party finished second in the state called Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. This is the home territory for Chancellor Angela Merkel in what used to be East Germany. Her conservative party finished third. So this is a major embarrassment and a very bad sign for her in the run-up to national elections next year. Now, last year, Germany took in 1 million refugees, mostly from Syria. There was an initial surge of compassion, but that has soured very much. And by way of comparison, there's been a lot of hysteria, again, mostly from Donald Trump, in the United States, which took in 10,000 Syrian refugees this year.
The Syrian refugees, though, keep coming because the war in Syria continues.
Sadly, the ceasefire that never really was has completely unraveled. The fighting and the bombing is as intense as ever. And to complicate things even more, Turkey sent troops over the border last week to attack both ISIS and some Kurdish groups that it doesn't like, but which are allies of the United States.
As you and I have talked about, U.S. relations with Turkey have plummeted after that failed coup.
Yeah, President Erdogan blames the coup on an elderly cleric who lives in self-imposed exile in Pennsylvania, and by extension, Erdogan also blames the United States.
President Obama, though, met with Erdogan just the other day at the G20 summit in China. Did they sort of, kind of patch things up?
Sort of, kind of, but, you know, a great deal is going to depend on what happens with this cleric. Turkey wants the U.S. to extradite him to face charges. They want him extradited yesterday. The U.S. says this is a process. It has to go through channels, and we'll have to await the usual procedures. And so Turkey is waiting impatiently.
Obama also met with Vladimir Putin to talk about a new ceasefire. How did that go?
That got nowhere, exactly. There is such distrust now between Russia and the United States. You know, it's hard to see how they could reach an agreement, or at least an agreement that would hold. Their interests are so different in Syria, and, you know, the distrust. Look at another subject on the table there in that meeting between Obama and Putin. It was hacking and the strong suspicion that Russia is trying to interfere with the U.S. presidential election, hacking the Democratic National Committee, for example.
Now, while the president met with Putin and Erdogan and Chinese President Xi Jinping, there was one appointment that President Obama simply canceled. We know which one that one is.
With Rodrigo Duterte, the new president of the Philippines. Now, they were supposed to meet in Laos on the sidelines of a meeting of Southeast Asian leaders. Obama went there after the meeting in China. And there's a lot to talk about. The Philippines is on the front lines of a confrontation with China in the South China Sea. And there's a major human rights story that we've talked about. Duterte was elected just a little over 2 months ago. Since then, Philippine police and vigilante groups have murdered some 2,000 people, most of them shot execution style. Now, these are always identified as drug suspects, and Duterte indignantly rejects any criticism as meddling with Philippine sovereignty. On his way to Laos, he said he would not listen to any questions from President Obama on this, and he called Obama a nasty name. Now, exactly how nasty depends on your translation, which you prefer, but nasty enough for the president to conclude that a meeting with Duterte, who he called obviously a very colorful fellow, that a meeting with him right now might not be.
So many layers to that word, colorful. Now, Duterte apologized, though.
Sort of. A statement that he was sorry the insult had come out as a personal attack.
Now, one thing before we let you go, considerably closer to home, very quickly, is how the Hawaii is about to propose new rules to regulate manta ray viewing there on the Big Island. What's happening?
The proposed regulations were supposed to come out over the weekend at a meeting in Kona, but that was postponed due to Hurricane Lester, which, of course, didn't show up. This is a big deal here. Maybe about 24 boats go out every night. It's far and away the most important part of their business. It's a major attraction for scuba divers and snorkelers. You always see the manta ray trip as one of the top dives in the world in scuba magazines. I've done it. It is both amazing and it's a circus. And I think even the operators, at least some of them, have come to realize that they've got to dial this down.
All right. So more for our future agenda. Thanks very much, Neil. Talk to you next week. We got to go.
Okay. You bet, Bethann.
Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.